We're going to talk a bit again about how to receive healing power. We gave three descriptions last week of sickness and disease that come from the scripture. One is that sickness is a curse. Everybody that's been sick knows that. It's not a blessing, it's a curse. Anything that's a curse brings evil into your life. The other thing is it says it's an oppression. Anything that oppresses you, harasses you, torments you, vexes you. You know, if you've been sick, I don't have to twist your arm and convince you. Religion is the only body that says sickness is a real blessing. That means if you have the flu, you think, thank God, wasn't that wonderful? My, I loved that. What a blessing. All that pain, 2 days in bed, 3 days away from work. Wow, that was great, wasn't it? And that means everybody should line up for the flu. But it's not a blessing. It never was a blessing. Religion said it's a blessing. God said it's a curse. It's an oppression. It's a harassment. It's a tyranny. Jesus said it was a bondage. Anything's a bondage, ties you, restricts you. It's the same word they would use for prisoner. We put somebody in prison. We tell him when he can go to the phone, when he can eat, when he can stand outside. We lock him in his cell at night. We open the door and tell him when he can come out. And that's what sickness tends to do. It tends to restrict you. It says you can't leave home today. You can't leave your bedroom today. You can't get out of bed today. And it begins to bind you and tie you, restrict you. It tells you what you can and can't do. Does that sound like God? God gave us free will. We have the ability to choose. Sickness takes from us the ability to choose, so it couldn't possibly be God. Those three descriptions we talked about last week at length. The curse, an oppression, and a bondage. Now when Jesus came, he came to heal the sick. Look at Luke chapter 4. The devil brings the oppression. The devil brings the curse. The devil brings the bondage. But Jesus came to heal. So you shall know the truth and truth shall set you free. And that's of anything you need to be free from. Whether it's poverty or sickness or sin, there's freedom in the truth of the Word of God. But how are we going to get the healing power of God? How are we going to get what Jesus purchased into our mortal frame? How is sickness going to disappear? And here Jesus gives us our first clue. When he says the Spirit of the Lord, verse 18, he appears in his hometown of Nazareth. He stands up to read. I love that. I was at one church, they said, let's stand for the reading of the scripture. I really liked that because that's what was done here. He says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. The anointing we talked about last week comes from the Spirit of the Lord. The power comes from the Spirit of the Lord. The anointing and the power come from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. He is the power of God. You shall receive power when? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the Holy Ghost is the power of God. He is the anointing of God. And Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Why would God anoint Jesus? Well, here it tells you what the anointing is going to do. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, these points we covered last week, so I'm going through them in a hurry. These are both physical and spiritual. You can be spiritually blind, just not able to see the truth of the gospel. You can be physically blind. We know that Jesus brought truth to people. We also know that he healed the physically blind. It doesn't matter where the blindness comes from. In the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me. These are the things that the anointing is going to do. It doesn't matter if you're captive to disease, captive to poverty, or captive to sin. The anointing will set you free. The Spirit of God is the anointing. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, the anointing is. Now let me ask you, is the Spirit of the Lord here?
Yes.
Is he here? Then the anointing is?
Here.
It is here. And is it here working or watching?
Working.
See, sometimes we get God confused with Santa Claus. Santa Claus is the one making a list, checking it twice. He's not doing a thing except writing things down. That's not Almighty God. God is working. It says the Spirit of the Lord works. It says God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So God is hard at work on your behalf. The anointing is going to work in you. We're going to find out how it works and how to cooperate with it. Now it says it's going to heal the brokenhearted. If you're grieved, it's going to heal you. It's going to deliver you if you're captive. It's going to cause sight to come to you if you're blind. It's going to set at liberty if you're bruised. Now we went to Isaiah 53. It says by his stripes we are healed. But in the Hebrew language, that word stripes is the word bruise. So this very certainly, very definitely, without a doubt, includes healing. The anointing, the power of God, is going to heal. That's what Jesus said. Now, this is the first message that Jesus preached. This is his message. This is what he preached. When he got up to preach, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And then he said a marvelous thing in verse 21, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. This day. When did it start to work? The anointing through Jesus. When did it start to work? This day, right here in Nazareth, the anointing began to work. Now, so that you'll remember, turn back to Isaiah chapter 10, and let's just read that verse one time. Verse 27, chapter 10. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away or removed from off your shoulder, his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed. Why? Because of the anointing. Two words are used here, burden and yoke. Now, is sickness a burden? It is, isn't it? Does it classify as a burden? Absolutely. Is it a yoke? See, when you yoke two cattle together, it's so that they have to walk where you tell them to, and that's exactly what sickness does. It comes upon your body and says, you'll do what I tell you to, when I tell you to, if I allow it. And it comes from Satan himself, and it brings bondage. It brings restrictions. It ties. I asked one group, what does sickness steal from you? And I hadn't thought about it before. A lot of things I'd thought about. It steals your money. It takes your job often. One said it steals your family and the quality time you have with your family. Does that sound like God to you? See, we need to uproot those religious traditions that are not consistent with the word of the living God. And it says there was anointing coming. An anointing. The Holy Ghost was coming. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. He is the power. He's also the glory. Well, the glory changes you and the power heals you and the anointing breaks yokes. And all of that is the same message expressed in different words. If we were all at a traffic accident, and I'd ask you what you saw and you what you saw and you what you saw. It's the same accident, but it depends upon the vision of the person, how you would explain to me what you would say it to me. And it doesn't matter if you say the anointing breaks the yoke or if you said the power heals or if you said the glory changes you. The glory will change anything that needs to be changed. We certainly don't believe that the glory would come through and make you leap high and run fast but wouldn't heal your body. Huh? See, so the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, this is the day this begins. Today it begins. Now let's read again Acts 10:38. We read that last week. And let me show you that the power heals and the power is the Holy Ghost. Here's your proof. I like to give a lot of proof when I teach healing because there's been so much religious tradition that's not been consistent with the Word of God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Whose idea was the anointing? Whose idea was it? Who sent it? With the Holy Ghost and with power who went about doing good and what? Healing all that were oppressed, tyrannized, harassed, overpowered of the devil, for God was with him. How was God with Jesus? Because God is at the throne of heaven. And Jesus said himself, no man has seen him. So how was he with Jesus? Through the anointing. When the anointing came, God sent the anointing. Now, once again, here's the question that we answered last week that we're going to answer again. Why would Jesus need to be anointed? Wasn't he God? He was God. He's always God. He is, he was, he will be. He's God. Why would God need to anoint God? Huh? Well, that's exactly what happened when Jesus was baptized. Luke chapter 3 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then it says he was about 30 years of age. He was 30 years of age when the Spirit of the Lord or the anointing came. And until that point, we can prove from the Scripture he hadn't done any miracles. He hadn't healed anybody. Why did he wait so long? You don't think there were a lot of sick people when he was 10, when he was 15, when he was 20, when he was 25? Certainly there were many sick people. And medical science was horrendous. My mother-in-law has a book that came from the family cabin in Kentucky. Ancient medical book. And I'm going to tell you, if you do many of those remedies, you will die quick. I'm so glad medical science has progressed. God is not against medical science. He's for you. Medical science has limitations and God is unlimited, and that's the difference. Medical science can't do some things, can't see some things, can't understand some things, but Almighty God can. It says the Spirit of the Lord, it was upon Jesus when he was baptized. It came upon him as a dove. And then the Lord spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He was about 30. Then when we go over to John chapter 1, just to review for you, it says the beginning of miracles was when he turned the water into wine. Now what's the beginning? Would that be the first thing he did? Well, we would suppose so, but we can prove so because the second thing he did is listed right after that when he healed the nobleman's son. It said this second miracle. So how many things come before two? How many things come before two? What was the holdup here? You think he didn't pass sick people on the street? You think he didn't know what he came to do? He said, don't you know I must be about my father's business? He's 12 years old. He knew what he was supposed to do. Why wasn't he doing it? Huh? He's waiting on what? He's waiting on the anointing. Now look at Philippians chapter 2 and let's look at that again. Waiting on the anointing. Whew. I wonder if Jesus is the only one God ever anointed. He said the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now if you look at chapter 2, it is Philippians. Talking about Jesus, verse 6, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Phillips translation says, did not cling to his prerogatives as God. There were some things Jesus came to earth without. He did not cling to them. He came without them. If you don't cling to something, you turn it loose. Isn't that right? So some things he turned loose. Verse 7 repeats that in a different way. Says he made himself of no reputation. Talking about Jesus coming to earth. Now, if you have a reputation, it's for some reason. I mean, something you did, something you said. Reputations are earned or merited in some ways. He came without reputation. What reputation did he come without? Now, if we go to the book of Colossians, go again to the book of First John, the book of St. John, it says everything that was created by Jesus. Everything that was created. That would build your reputation, wouldn't it? Didn't he open the Red Sea? Would that build your reputation? Didn't he save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? Didn't he protect Daniel in the lion's den? The thing about opening the Red Sea that so thrills me, it says they walked through on dry land. You get out there and open the sea, you're still not going to have dry land. The bottom of that river is going to be mucky or muddy. And when the wind of God blew, stood that water up on end, froze it like popsicles, and dried out the bottom, and they marched through. That builds your reputation. Said he came without a reputation. Now here is what the translators say so that we'll be clear on what that means. It says, he made himself nothing. He laid aside his mighty power and glory. He came without the power of heaven. That's why he had to be anointed. He laid it aside. Why did he lay it aside? He came to be the servant of God, the servant of man. He came to be man in the flesh. He is God, but in ministry, he is going to function as a man dependent upon the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so he laid the power aside. How do you know that? Well, there are three things I know he laid aside. One is that Jesus increased in wisdom. I thought he was God. Didn't he know everything? Huh? How come he increased in wisdom if he knew everything? Because he laid some things aside. One translation says he stripped himself. What did he strip himself of? Wisdom. Because he's going to come as a suffering servant. He's going to come in the likeness of men. He is God in the flesh who's going to come to rescue man. He's going to come to die. Humbled himself in obedience and came to die. I also know he stripped himself of the glory of God because in John 17, when he prayed to the Father just before going back to heaven, he said, return me to the glory which I had. And if I said I used to have something or I had it, that means I don't have it anymore. Lady wanted a tape that was recorded decades ago. I just knew we'll never find that. We have a system. We're fairly organized. But I thought, my, what year did you say that was? But we found it. Jesus said, I had that. The glory, I had it. Well, the glory changes you. What happened to the glory? What happened to the wisdom? What happened to the power? So he didn't cling to it. He laid it aside. So he's got to be anointed. Now let's find it from the words of Jesus himself. Look at John chapter 5. I holler a lot. You just write that down on your paper. She hollers too much and we'll all get over it, okay? John 5, 19. I can whisper, but I'm probably not going to. Oh, thank you, Father. 5:19, I love this. This is the words of Jesus himself. Jesus answered, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. Huh? The New English Bible says the Son can do nothing by himself. One says the Son can do nothing independently. The one says the Son can do nothing on his own. I thought he was God. He is God. Says he couldn't do anything. That's why he didn't do it when he was 20, when he was 25, when he was 30. How is he going to do what he does? the anointing, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me. He's going to do it by the anointing. He said, by myself, I can do nothing. Now, that's in John a lot. So let's look at it, verse 30. It's not just that he gives that a passing word. I can of mine own self do nothing. That's what it says. I can do nothing by myself. I can do nothing independently. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. Who is he hearing from? Who is he hearing from? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me. He's hearing from God through the Spirit. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Now look at chapter 8. Let's see it again. That kind of messes up your religious theology, doesn't it? I thought God could do anything. He couldn't. I'll have more to say about that later. Just put your comma there. 8:26. I have many things to say and to judge, but that he that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I heard of him. Who is bringing him these words that he's speaking? Said he that sent me. Who sent him? God the Father sent him. Who sent him? God sent him. So he said, I'm going to tell you what God is saying. I'm only going to speak what God is saying. How did he know what God was saying? The Spirit of the Lord was upon him and had anointing him. Is the Spirit of the Lord in the world today? Yes. Then the anointing is here. Yes. And it will do today what it's always done. And one thing it does is heal the sick. Now look at it again, verse 28. Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am he and that I do nothing of myself. Three times we've read that. But as my Father taught me, I speak those things. He that sent me is with me. The Father is in heaven. Jesus himself said he's on the throne. What did he mean, the Father's with me? He's not there. He's in heaven. How's he with him? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me. What? To preach, to heal, to loose the captives. I do always those things that please him. That's what holiness is. It's pleasing God the Father at all times. Now look at chapter 12. Verse 49. This is part of the theme of John, that you understand that Jesus came anointed. John wants to be sure you know that Jesus came anointed, that he came and God anointed him. Jesus, I have not spoken of myself. Once again, it's I have not spoken by myself. The things I taught you were not from myself. I didn't speak on my own. Well, what is he speaking? We've already proved it in several other passages. How is he speaking? If he's not speaking by his own initiative, he's not originating thought, he's not deciding what to say, then where are the words coming from? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to preach. That would include teaching as well. By the Spirit, he's saying what he said. The Father which sent me, he gave me the commandment what I should say. How is the Father given the commandments from heaven to earth? The Spirit, you're getting this, aren't you? Of the Lord is upon me. Now, I know that when I teach, sometimes you say the most brilliant things. I want to say, excuse me just a minute, let me write that down. Never thought of it before. Never said it before. I've used words. So I said something redounded. Somebody asked me what that meant. I didn't have a clue. I had to go look it up. Because the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and anoints you to speak. That same Spirit comes upon you and anoints you to bring healing to the sick. And that includes the mentally oppressed as well. God's interested in your mind. It's part of your body. Now look at chapter 14 of John. Isn't this the most fascinating thing? If we get this straight, let me ask you a question. We are going to get it straight. If you don't get it straight, I'm coming to your house. Is that clear? If 14:10. Believe you not that I am in the Father in me. The words that I speak not by myself, not originating the words. The Father that dwelleth in me, he does the work. Jesus did at no point claim to heal the sick. He did not claim to heal the sick. He said, the Father is doing it. The Father is doing it. The Father is doing it. How is the Father healing the sick? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and hath anointed me to preach deliverance, to heal the brokenhearted, to bring release to the captives. Does sickness take you captive? Jesus said it did. He said it caps you, it binds you, it ties you, it restricts you, it harasses you, it torments you, it oppresses you, and it curses you, brings evil into your life. That's thus saith the Scripture. But the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the living God, sets the captive free. And the only way to be free is to receive the anointing and to know that the Spirit of the Lord has come upon you to set you free. Now, we'll talk about it later. You can be healed by the gifts. That's a different thing entirely. This works all the time for everybody. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He said, the Father in me doeth the works. Now, let's talk about the anointing. Let's turn, back to 2 Kings. I want you to see some things about the anointing. 2 Kings chapter 2. There are three main characteristics of the Spirit of the Lord that you will see that will help you if you understand how the Spirit of the Lord, how the anointing or the power of God manifests, how it shows up. You know, when something manifests, it shows up. One is very clear here and in other passages. This is Elijah and Elisha. When in 1 Kings 19, when Elijah heard from God, God told him, go and anoint Elisha. Go and anoint Elisha. That means the Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon Elisha so that he can be the prophet when Elijah leaves. Elijah's going to go to heaven. You remember, he doesn't die. He goes up in a chariot. And that's what you have in this chapter. Every juncture of the way, Elijah said to Elisha, because Elisha had stood by his side all of those years, had been his minister or his servant, knowing that he would be the one to step into his office, to take the prophet's office when Elijah died. I'm sure he didn't know Elijah was going to go up in a chariot of fire. And so all the way, as Elijah's going, he knows what's going to happen to him. He said, he knows somewhat of, he knows he's going to die. He said, are going to be dismissed from the earth. Let's put it that way. He said to Elisha, you don't go, you stay here. And Elisha said, I'm going. He said that in Jericho. He said that in several different cities. And when he comes to the Jordan River, he tries one more time. He says to Elisha, you don't go, you stay here. He says, I'm going. Now, this is the way to get what you need from God. We say, I'm you're not talking me out of this. I'm here. He said, I'm going. I'm going with you. I'm staying by your side. If you stay by the side of the Word and by the side of the Spirit, what you need will come from the Spirit through the Word. Every time. And so that's what you have here. Now, when Elijah comes to the Jordan River, he's already told Elisha, don't go. And Elisha said, I am going. Verse 13. You go home and read this chapter. It's a marvelous chapter. We can't read it all. Verse 12, Elisha saw it. Well, we made it back up. Verse 11, it came to pass as they went on and talked that there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them, Elijah and Elisha, asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and said, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two, and he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Now, the mantle is a type of the anointing. When the Old Testament talks about the mantle, it's talking about the anointing. If you go back to verse 8, you can see what Elijah had done. When Elijah came to the Jordan River, he took the mantle, which was a coat or a cape. He hit the waters. Elijah took the mantle, wrapped it together, smote the water, and they were divided hither and thither, so the two went on dry ground. He had opened the Jordan River with that mantle. Now, let me ask you, take your coat, your best coat, your worst coat, go down to any lake in the city and flap it over the water and see what happens. I mean, just flap away. Take your time. It's like the person that talking about Jesus walking on the water and Peter walking on the water. They said, well, it was a stormy day. And I said, well, I don't want to be a smart aleck here, but if you're going to walk on the water, then we should pick a calm day when the sun's out. Huh? Couldn't have been the mantle. Because coats don't do any. You can flap all you want to. You can't open that river. You can't open Lake Park or any other lake in the city. It won't happen. What opened the river? The anointing of God. Elijah was anointed. He was the anointed prophet of God. And he says to Elisha, when I leave, you're going to receive the anointing. Well, this is how you know that came to pass, because the mantle, verse 13, fell off of Elijah when he was taken up in that chariot. So when Elisha got ready to cross the Jordan, he took the mantle that fell from Elijah and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Where was he? Said he was in the coat. No, he wasn't in the coat. He was in the man that wore the coat. You know you wear your shirt too long and it's not. You know we'll know you wore it. You know what I'm telling you? You don't have to draw any pictures. We travel the world and deodorant is an American thing. And that's all I'm going to say. But when Elijah was anointed by God, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, Elijah took that mantle, he hit the water, and the water divided. When he went up in that chariot of fire, that coat fell to the ground, and Elisha picked it up and took that same, see, the anointing that was on Elijah is now on Elisha. He took that same mantle or coat or cape and hit that water, and the water divided. Now, there were 50 people watching. I didn't make that up. That's in here. Verse 15. I wasn't there. I didn't count them. When the sons of the prophet which went to view at Jericho saw that, they said, "The spirit of Elijah does now rest on Elisha." Now here's what that tells you, and we'll read other instances. That the anointing of God can be absorbed in the clothing that's worn by the man who's anointed. It can be absorbed. It was obviously absorbed in Elijah's clothing. And obviously was still in that clothing when Elisha took the clothing to open the river. The anointing is tangible and perceptible, and it will sink into and saturate certain objects, clothing being one that's listed in the scripture. Now, a lady brought me a Kleenex one time to lay hands on it. That won't work. The anointing doesn't go into Kleenex. It won't. It just won't. But the power of God goes into clothes. But it's not the clothes, it's the anointing that's in the clothes. Is it the clothes or the anointing? See, if it were the clothes, you'd be healed tonight. You wouldn't even have to come to receive healing word. If clothes healed you, because you all got on clothes. Isn't that right? Is it the clothes? Was it the cape? What was it? What's the anointing? And the anointing is absorbed. Now let's look at that in the New Testament. In Mark chapter 5. The anointing is absorbed. It saturates. It penetrates. It's like a sponge. This is the one with the issue of blood, been sick 12 years, suffered many things, spent all she had, nothing better, rather grew worse. Do I understand that? When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now we can tell you exactly what she heard. She said, "If I touch his clothes, I shall be whole." What did she hear? You know, if they had been talking about the anointing of oil, she said, "If he'll anoint me with oil, I shall be healed." But she didn't mention the anointing of oil. That's obviously not what she heard. Although we do anoint with oil. What did she heard? Everybody that touches him is healed. That had been what she heard. Well, what message was Jesus given? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me." He's reading from Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord's upon me and has anointed me." That's what he's preaching. Somebody told her that. The Spirit of the Lord's upon him and has anointed him. And everybody touches him, that anointing flows out of him. The anointing is not only observed, but it's transported, it's transferred, it's moved. That's what happened. You hit the cape over the water. The anointing jumped out of that cape, crossed that river, dried that thing up, and said, "Walk on through dry land." But it wasn't the cape. It was the anointing. Is the anointing here? Yes. Is it still doing what it's always done? Yes. See, man can say just what Jesus said, "I can't of my own self do nothing." I told you last week, a pastor tried to call me for some time, and finally I ran into him. He said, "I tried to call you, and that lady, that blind lady, got her eyesight." I said, "What blind lady?" I didn't have a clue what we're talking about. It's a lady you laid hands on that was blind in one eye. She's already been back to the doctor. The doctor's confirmed she did get her sight. She sees very well in that eye. I said, you know, for the life of me, remember laying hands on anybody. He said, the lady in the wheelchair. I said, oh, was she blind? I thought she'd had a stroke. You can tell it wasn't me. I didn't even know what was happening. What was it? It was the anointing. Working, it's working. The mighty God is working, it's working, it's working. The Holy Ghost is working, it's working, it's working, it's working down through me. The Holy Ghost is working, the Holy Ghost is working. See, when you get in that line, you need to know the Holy Ghost is. He's not watching. He's not like, say, he's watching. So let me write that down. That was terrible. Write that down. That was good. I'll put that on this side. No, he's not watching. He's working. He's working. He's working. Now, she said, if I touch his clothes, she had heard the message. He's anointed. That's the message Jesus was preaching. I am anointed. This day, I am anointed. This day, the anointing is in the earth. This day. Straightway, the fountain of her blood dried up. She felt in her body she was healed. Now, she didn't touch him. She touched his clothes. It says she felt in her body. In other words, she perceived. When I lay hands on people, I can perceive the anointing. I can perceive whether or not it moved or not, whether or not it went into you. I don't see anything. I've heard of people seeing it just for a second. I didn't see anything, but I can perceive. I can tell you if you got it or you didn't. Because the Spirit of the Lord is transported. It moves, and it moved from Jesus into her. It had penetrated and absorbed. It saturated all of his clothes, and it moved from him into her. And she felt that. She knew that. She perceived that. But you see, that's why she went. That's what she believed. She said, the Spirit of the Lord, if I touch him. And she said, I touch his garment. And the anointing that absorbed, that was on him and had saturated his clothes, flowed from him to her. Now, she's not the only one who knew it. He knew it. Look at verse 30. Jesus immediately noticed that virtue, which is the word, the Greek word power. Some Bibles are changed. Some are marked that way. Virtue or power went out of him, turned him about the press, said, who touched my clothes? Well, he was in a vast crowd of people. Dozens of people touched him. What was the difference in their touch and her touch? She believed that he was anointed. She believed that the touch would transfer the anointing. She went to get something she believed she'd get it. They're just jostling about in the crowd, and sometimes we just touch people. So, you know, I touched Elvis. Or whatever floats your boat. I've never seen any Elvis movies. I might one day, but not today. Now let's look at this again, Luke chapter 6. The anointing is it moves. It's like electricity. How many remembers electricity moves? That you can come in contact and it'll move from somewhere to you? Have you ever come in contact and know that it does definitely move? Did you see anything other than stars? But it moved, didn't it? See, the anointing is similar to electricity. It is going to move. What moves it? Huh? Your faith that it's going to move. The Spirit of the Lord's here. The anointing is here. This man is anointed. It's the anointing. The anointing. The anointing that's going to. She said, when I touch him. Same thing in Luke chapter 6, verse 17. He came down with him, stood in the plain. Company of his disciples, a great multitude of people out of Judea, Jerusalem, from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, came to hear and to be healed. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. What does that tell you that he preached? I can tell you what his sermon was. If he had preached on the anointing of all or the laying on of hands, both of which are very scriptural, they would have wanted hands laid on him, but they wanted to touch him. Why did they want to touch him? Because they had heard him say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. And look what happened to everyone that touched him. Virtue went out of him. Virtue is power. The power of God, the anointing of God, can move from one person to another. And it healed them all. How many? All of them. All of them that touched him. So is that all of them? It's all that touched him. See, that's the message Jesus was given. Now let's look at it again, Matthew chapter 14. The Spirit of the Lord can be absorbed. It can be transported. Verse 35. When the men of that place had knowledge, they sent out into the country roundabout and brought all those diseased. They didn't send for the sick until after they heard the message. The minute they heard the message, they sent for the sick. What do you suppose the message was? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the minute they heard the message, they said, gather in all the sick. And they besought him that they might only what? Touch the hem of his garment, because the anointing comes upon people. It can be absorbed in their clothing. It comes into atmospheres. And your faith, knowing that the Spirit of the Lord is here, moves that anointing from where it is into your body. Now, when the anointing comes to you, everybody that was touched by the anointing was healed. Let me show you an Old Testament scripture. 2 Kings 13. Elijah was anointed. You remember his mantle absorbed that anointing and opened the river. Elisha took that same mantle, opened the river. Now this is Elisha's death. Verse 20, chapter 13. And Elisha died and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming of the year. It came to pass as they were burying a man, they were taking him to burial, they beheld a spy of men. That's the enemy. They cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. So they're in a hurry. They're fixing to take this man to bury him or to put him in a sepulcher, in a tomb. And they see this band of enemy coming. So they got to get rid of this body so they can hoof it on out here. You know, the body's in the way. That's weighting them down. So they cast the man. It happened to be the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. Because the bones of Elisha had absorbed the anointing that was on Elisha. The anointing is tangible. It's absorbed and it's transferable. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon to heal. Isn't it? Now, did Jesus heal everybody? Huh? No, he didn't. Look back at Luke chapter 4. The people that got the healing were the people that believed the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The people that believed in the anointing. He goes to his hometown of Nazareth. He preaches this marvelous sermon, verse 22, and they say, isn't this Joseph's son? What does that tell you, first off? It's not much faith happening here. Isn't that Joseph's son? They wondered at his gracious words. They knew he spoke differently than most. It says he spoke differently than the scribes in the book of Matthew. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and anointed him to preach. And they recognized there's something about his preaching and his teaching that's not like the scribes do. What was the difference? The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. They said, isn't this Joseph's son? Now look at verse 28. And all in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. Now that doesn't make you a candidate for healing anointing, by the way. Did they receive the message? Made them mad. They didn't receive the message, what they made them mad. They rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him to the brow of the city, where the city was built, and they might cast him headlong. He, passing through the midst of them, went his way. He went his way. What does that mean? He didn't heal anybody. He went his way. Didn't heal anybody. Why? He preached his message. Spirit of the Lord's upon me. And they said, isn't this Joseph's son? And they got mad and they stirred up a crowd, an angry crowd that wanted to push him over the hill. And he just left. He just went his way. Why didn't they get healed? They didn't believe the message. They didn't receive the message. What was the message? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me. The anointing heals the sick, brings peace of mind, causes preaching to be received and to penetrate the heart. Now let's look at it again. It's in Mark chapter 6. This is his second trip home. Received exactly the same way. When the Sabbath day was come, verse 2, he began to teach in the synagogue, and hearing him, they were astonished. Why hearing him were they astonished? Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and had anointed him to preach. They knew there's something different. They were astonished. From whence hath this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? They recognized that he spoke with great wisdom, with great brilliance, and he was doing mighty things. And then they said, isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Now we're just crossing over the border here. Aren't his brother, James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon, his sisters, aren't they here? And they were offended. They were what? And verse 5. So Jesus could there do no mighty work. It doesn't say wouldn't. What does it say? Why couldn't he do it there? They wouldn't receive the message. What's the message? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach deliverance to the captives, to heal the broken heart, to bring recovery to the blind, to set at liberty those that are captives, and to heal the bruised. They said, no, I know who he is. He's Mary's son. He's the carpenter, Mary's son. And they were offended. Did God rule them out? Did God say, I'm not healing them? What happened? They ruled themselves out because they wouldn't receive the message. Now let me ask you a brilliant question. Are you going to receive this message?
Yes.
Are you going to receive it?
Yes.
What's the message? He marveled because of their unbelief, went round about the village teaching. What happens when you teach? Faith comes by hearing. He could see they didn't believe anything. Did they believe the anointing was upon him? Did they believe he was God? What did they believe? This is Mary's son. You'll never be healed by believing in the man. You have to believe the message. You do receive the man with grace because he's sent from heaven, sent by God. But the healing doesn't come from the man. It comes by believing the message. And I've been teaching healing for decades. You know, Wayne and I don't live our life in years anymore. We're in our sixth decade. Forget the year. This is decade number six. And until this study, I didn't realize that we hadn't given people enough information with which to receive their healing. We talked about the will of God. I love to teach that. We talked about the blood of Jesus. I love to teach that. All significant teaching, all very, very important. You can believe that Jesus died on the cross and go to hell. You have to know how to receive salvation. How do you receive it? This is a two-sided coin. It is the will of God to heal you. We teach that. That's right. What we've said was right. It was in accordance with the Word of God. It was wonderful. The truth is wonderful. But if nobody tells you, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth to be saved, you have to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior to be saved. You have to say something. You can't get saved just because you knew he died on the cross. There are sinners that believe he died on the cross. There are people that are going to be in hell who knew he died on the cross. Well, we know healing is the will of God. We can prove that from stem to stern. Love to teach that. I can prove that, I don't know, multitude of ways. But once you know that's the will of God for you, turn the coin over. And what's the other side of the coin say? The Spirit of the Lord anoints and brings healing. And it's through the anointing that the will of God comes to pass. It is through the anointing that the will of God comes to pass. And all I have to do is school is know it is God's will and school myself. You know, you go to school, you practice, you learn. Joel and I went over the multiplication tables. When he was in third grade, you had to make 100%. It was a county thing. And we went over them and over them. And to this day, I know 6 and 6 is 36. And 8 times 7 is 56. 9 times 7 is 63. Because we went over them and we went over them and we went over them and we went over them because we got to make 100%. What if I just kept reading that verse? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord heals. The Spirit of this day, this day, this day, Is this the day of the anointing? You know, if it's not the day of the anointing, the Holy Ghost is no longer here. Is he here?
Yes.
Is he the anointing?
Yes.
Does the anointing heal?
Yes.
How are you going to get it? Get right up in that line and say, "Here I am, God, for the anointing." One of the strongest anointings I ever got. Had my eyes closed. Didn't have a clue who laid hands on me. Not a clue. It wasn't the person. I didn't know who it was. Somebody later told me. I was shaking down to my toes, and I got exactly what I needed. But it wasn't the person. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord was up and on. And he's here. Isn't he here?
Yes.
Now we read two more verses. Look at Acts 3. I'm so glad. Peter and John brought healing power to the man at the gate called Beautiful. The people wondered how that happened. This man had never walked, lame from his mother's womb. You may not know your Greek theology, but to be a man, you had to be 30 years old, so he's at least 30. Or he's not a man. That's the rules. So he's been lame a long time. They brought healing power to him. He leaped and walked and praised God. Verse 11, the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. All the people ran together in the porch that's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Well, they're wondering, how did that happen? How in the world did that happen? Peter saw it. He answered the people. You men, now listen to this answer. Very important. You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why look ye earnestly on us as though by our own power, as though by our own power, our holiness, we made this man to walk? He said, why are you staring at us as if we made him walk? Why are you looking at us as if we had power to make him walk? What made him walk? The Holy Ghost of God. Now you know the verse. We don't have to look at it. Not by might, not by power. It's not man's might. It's not man's power. If you get anything from God, you won't get it from man. If you look to man, you won't even get it. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And what does the Spirit of the Lord bring? The anointing. And he's here. Let's celebrate the presence of the Lord. He is here. The Holy One by heaven and earth adored. He is here. He is here. He is here. Shh. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, you are welcome. You are welcome. Welcome in this place. Lord, by your Spirit, there's healing divine. No other power can heal us but thine. You know the verse to that? Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Say, well, Jesus is not here. That's religious theory. Jesus is not healed, so God doesn't heal today because Jesus is not here. I hope you don't buy into that. Holy Ghost is here. He's the one that healed through Jesus. Is Holy Ghost here?
Yes.
Did the Holy Ghost come upon Jesus?
Yes.
Was it the anointing that healed through Jesus?
Yes.
Did the anointing absorb in Jesus' clothes? Was it moved from one person to another?
Yes.
Is he here?
Yes.
So does it matter that Jesus is not here before we can look at his face? Huh? And we read last week, the shadow of Peter fell upon him. Do shadows heal? No, just pick a shadow and stand in it and see what you get. It's not the shadow. It's Peter was anointed, and out of his body flowed that anointing. And it said mighty things were done through their hands. Is it the hands?
No,
it's the anointing, because the anointing can be absorbed and it flows, it moves. That's why people fall under the power, whether or not you realize the anointing flowed into you, knocked you off your feet. One lady said, I'm going in that line, but nobody's knocking me down. I said, have at it. I said, stand as long as you can. I noticed they picked her up. You can't tell the Holy Ghost what to do. Now, when you get in that line, what are you going to do? Huh? How are you going to receive? You're going to know the Spirit of the Lord is here. It's going to move from Him into me and affect a healing and a cure in my body.